the Veeam Communities Podcast. This is episode 125, and I'm here with Darren Williams, who is the EMEA Technical Sales Leader at Cisco. So, Darren, welcome. And firstly, what does a technical sales leader at Cisco do?
Thanks, Mike. So, in particular, what I cover is I cover incubation technologies that are based around storage, Cisco. So, I cover the whole of EMEA, which for Cisco covers everything from Iceland across to Russia and then all the way down from Iceland all the way down to South Africa. So quite a big patch. What I do is I head up a team of specialists around both pre-sales and also covering some of the aspects of the enablement of these incubation technologies. In particular, I cover HyperFlex, which is hyper-converged, and also our software-defined storage platform based around our dense storage server, the S3260.
Great stuff. So HyperFlex is clearly high on that agenda. So just for the listeners that have been buried under a rock and not heard of either hyperconvergence or the Cisco HyperFlex offering, could you just give a bit of an introduction or a 101 on what it is?
Sure, absolutely. So let's look at it from what is hyperconvergence first, because some of the listeners might not be aware of it. So what we look around hyperconvergence is we've been used to this three-tier model around storage, compute, and networking. And over the years, that's done us very well in terms of how we've serviced applications. But obviously, as we move forward, people are looking for more agility, more simplicity in the data center. And one way of doing that is to do that is to collapse layers. So we look at hyperconvergence where we can actually collapse all of those functionalities in terms of storage, compute, and networking around a hypervisor into a server. And then we can then link those servers together in the form of a cluster to provide scale-out file services and resources back into the likes of VMware for their virtual machines to be able to coexist and work on the platform. So HyperFlex, as the 101 around HyperFlex, is we continue the story of what people have been doing in hyperconvergence probably for the last 4 years, but we've taken a different approach on it. We've looked at it from a perspective of the hyperconverged models today, they typically consolidated the storage and the compute requirements. They didn't really take care of the networking. So HyperFlex, the key enabler of HyperFlex technology is two things. We include the network, so we include a fabric approach that we've done for years around the Cisco UCS technology. And what that allows us to do is, if you're not familiar with UCS from Cisco, we, 8 years ago, looked at how servers were being manufactured and used in the workplace and the data centers, and saw a way of being able to virtualize the hardware, have a fabric around the servers that we could then use for ease of deployment. We could create service profiles, a technology where we can think about an application and a type of server that we can then make repeatable. So we have the expertise to build those profiles and those templates. And then as people wanted to roll out servers, we can drop those service profiles and templates directly onto a server that then could become the exact type of server you need. So that could be, it needs the likes of a certain network profile around VLANs, around quality of service. It needs a certain virtual network interface setup. And that can be repeatable as we drop those on servers. So that's one of the new things that we're bringing to hyperconvergence, is because that's included in HyperFlex. The ability to simplify all of the deployment elements of hyperconvergence around the network, around the servers, around applications of the HyperFlex software layer, around the likes of if you need quality of service and jumbo frames built within the network, that's done for you. So it's, again, adding to that simplification method. The second biggest part of what we bring to it is that network, the fabric. And the fabric allows us to interconnect servers together like anybody else. But we use that as a day zero experience. We build it into the package. We have architected the solution around hyperconvergence to use the network. So we spread our data throughout the network, throughout the cluster, And we use the network because we have low latency and a predictability in the fabric around single hop architecture. We can move the VMs where they're going to get their traffic and their data. We can spread that throughout the network. So again, we've embraced the network. We use the network for our benefit, and that gives us a huge advantage in performance as well as reliability of the solution around how we can cope with failures. So we've built on the UCS experience of 8 years and now bringing that to hyperconvergence. So HyperFlex has been around now just over a year as a marketed product from Cisco. And in that year, we've now got over 1,500 customers. From a mere perspective, we've got nearly 300 customers and growing rapidly as we speak. We're just coming off the back of a record quarter around our Q3. So lots of good stuff coming out of Cisco around HyperFlex, and the interaction we have with Veeam in terms of some of our data protection for resilience across disaster recovery, as well as backup, is key in enabling to drive that.
Great stuff, Darren. Yeah, so as you said, I think it was the 1 year birthday a couple of weeks back. I remember tweeting something out about that. And obviously since then, so we had the version one, and just recently, just probably again a couple of weeks before that year birthday, was update two was released from you guys. Are we able to go a bit more into the weeds around what that update two actually brought?
Yeah, so let's look at this chronologically. When we came to market, we came out with 1.7 release. About 4 to 5 months later, we came out with 1.8. And 1.8 was all about including some more of the functionality we have with UCS. So we enabled different technologies around some of the functionality we have within UCS, the likes of GPU to be included. We also have some very good benefits in terms of how we can scale applications requirements within a hyperconverged offering. So we have the ability to scale compute only. So that's a key differentiator for us, because when you look at the appliance build of others, you always have to build on an appliance layer. You scale out, so you're going to build storage into that model, even if you don't need it, as well as hyperconverged licenses. So our approach is we can actually scale at the edge with our Fabric Interconnects and our standard M3 and M4 servers, that we can actually plug those into the fabric, deploy a free piece of software that we download from Cisco that allows them to attach into the hyperconverged layer around HyperFlex, and then only use the computer memory from those compute servers for those virtual machines. So there's a great return on investment and TCO, because we're not deploying storage for the sake of it, and we're not having to waste hyperconverged licenses at the edge where they're not needed. So that was one of the big functionalities we released in 1.8. We also in 1.8 enabled the ability to coexist with third-party storage and also existing UCS resources. So this allowed us to then really message how people want to be able to deploy technology, not throw everything at one technology. They look at how they can utilize their existing conversion infrastructures. They look at how they can build their own infrastructures, and then run those alongside hyperconvergence and HyperFlex, coexisting all under UCS Manager, all under the Fabric Interconnects, and then utilizing technologies like UCS Director and Cisco Cloud Center to orchestrate and manage private clouds on those infrastructures. So then, as you said, we had a latest release 2.0. 2.0 came out in March, and that was all around all-flash technology, where we introduced all-flash nodes into the clusters and allowed us to build different levels of performance for different requirements and applications. So we now have both hybrid and all-flash that can sit under FIs together. We can maintain those in separate clusters, and we actually see really good levels of performance with our hybrid down to our approach, where we can actually share all resources across the cluster, and we can share the read cache right across the cluster. So up to a certain point, you can actually get all flash performance if you don't miss the cache. But obviously, if you have bigger data sets or more requirements around lower latency, you then don't want to be missing cash. So at that point, that's where all flash comes in. So we've now been shipping all flash for, getting on for, well, actually shipping about a month and a half, and that's seen great feedback and performance around those technologies. We have a ESG white paper that we released both around hybrid and all flash, which endorses that and shows what you can potentially do with our technology compared to competition, which again, is all about a better TCO, being able to consolidate more virtual machines into the architecture and gain the performance and maintain the performance linearly across all VMs. So you don't have spikes or different VMs getting different performance metrics, because at that point, if you have that sort of mix, you can't guarantee or provide SLAs and predictability for the users and applications, whereas we can because of the way the architecture is put together. So 2.0 came out in March, and it's a great timing, actually. We're just in the process of releasing 2.1, which again, it's a fairly minor release, but it introduces a couple of new technologies. So the HyperFlex offering today is a data center offering, which can also be used in robo, but the larger type robos, where we build in the fabric interconnects, we build in the ability to scale, the ability of performance. But we're seeing more and more within the robo environment where people want to go down into a smaller footprint. They don't need the levels of performance. They still want the functionality that we provide in the data center product, the likes of our DG for compression, the ability to do snapshots and cloning, the ease of management, the data availability and reliability of having data spread throughout the cluster. So what we brought out in 2.1 is our HyperFlex Edge offering, which is a three-node cluster, which can sit against a existing network, so we don't need the FIs. And we can minimize the footprint of either CPU or the amount of drives that we have within those nodes. So again, that allows us to compete very nicely in terms of a smaller footprint at the edge, but also give that functionality people have got used to at the data center and have a consistent story around both management, availability of data, and some of the features, the likes of DG for compression and snapshots and cloning. Also, as part of that, we increased the scale. We've increased the scale of our all-flash offering to 16 nodes in a cluster alongside 16 compute nodes, so 32 nodes per cluster and up to 8 clusters per FI. So again, we can address the scalability as we go forward, and that we're going out fairly softly on the cluster scalability. There's no actual limit within our architecture about the size of these clusters can go, but we've seen that there's not too many people that need the level of cluster that we're going towards. We can do a lot of different things within multiple clusters around the FIs, but as we see more and more workloads come into the solution, we need to be able to address higher levels of nodes within the cluster, typically at the compute-only layer. And we can do that as we go forward with 2.1. And then finally with 2.1, we released the self-encrypting drive functionality into the solution. And we're just gearing up for our 2.5 release in the June timeframe. And a lot of things we bring into 2.5 are around availability of data, some of the usability. We introduce our own HTML5 GUI for customer choice. And some of the functionality around our all-flash offerings have changed when we put NVMe for the cache within the solution. So lots going on, very exciting time at Cisco around HyperFlex, and there's a real buzz in the market, and our customers are loving the solution around this simplicity and ease, performance, and generally it does what we say it does. It give people that simplicity model as they try and take different applications into hyperconvergence. But also the platform as we build, and people want to bring more performant applications into, they can with HyperFlex.
Yeah, awesome stuff, Darren. So I know that I've been working with you for the last year or so on some of this stuff as well. So from a Veeam partner, Veeam Alliance point of view, so I've seen this little baby of yours grow up, right? So I think that kind of transitions on to where Veeam actually fits in from a HyperFlex point of view. So on day one, we were there to be able to not only back up those virtual machine workloads within VMware, but also replicate them between sites, whether Hyperflex might have been wheeled into a remote office, branch office type location, and they may or may have like a converged offering in their main data center of some sorts. And that allowed us, being agnostic, we were able to go in there, start protecting those workloads and sending them into that main data center via either just a backup or via a replication engine that we have. Ultimately, it didn't need to be Cisco Technologies, but the fun stuff really started when we announced our version 9.5 update 2, which will be arriving in the next few weeks. And that's the ability to take the backup from the storage snapshot. So the ability that we have today with the likes of NetApp, with Nimble, with HPE, 3PAR, et cetera, is about reducing or minimizing the performance impact on those production virtual machines. So VMware's snapshot methodology stops that or causes that stun or can cause that stun. And what we're doing is we're alleviating that by talking to the storage APIs to be able to take that application consistent snapshot, but ultimately take a backup using that snapshot. So one of the things that we brought in, or we're bringing in 9.5 update 2, will be the ability to offload down into the storage, into those HyperFlex IO visors, if you will. So on each of the nodes, there's an IO visor, and it allows us to then pull out the HyperFlex VM snapshot and pull that into our backup repository. So just to put that into like the steps that we take, so as we do in every job, we're going to analyze which VMs in the job have disks on the supported storage. Ultimately, if you're in a HyperFlex environment, everything is going to be set on that HyperFlex tier. We're going to perform that agentless application aware process and make sure that VM is in a consistent state. We then create the HyperFlex VM snapshot, so we go down to the IO visor on the relevant host, and then we perform that snapshot, leveraging the HyperFlex API. We then release that consistent state of the VM within VMware, and then we use the changebot tracking as we do with every backup within VMware. And then we're going to read all those new and changed blocks, and we're going to from that HyperFlex VM, and then transport them to our backup repository, or via a replica job that we send over to a secondary site. Then we remove that HyperFlex VM snapshot, and as soon as we've got that application consistent backup on our repository, and with that we can then obviously truncate any logs or any transient data that was within that system. So really the key there is, because of the change that HyperFlex is bringing that Darren mentioned around being able to actually put those more performant required VMs within the HyperFlex cluster, it means that we're able to still protect them, but minimizing the performance impact on the production VMware environment, but also still be able to send a replica using this same technology, as well as that nearline backup that I just mentioned as well. So, and with that, a CVD is either about to land with update 2 or is even out there now. If I just have a quick look, I believe we do have one out there on that's jointly been created by Cisco and Veeam. Darren, do you have anything to add on that one?
Yeah, just for the listeners who don't know what CVD is, a Cisco validated design. So it's a joint solution in this case around HyperFlex and Veeam, and it breaks down complete architecture around what's been tested, how it was tested, what the metrics of performance were we were seeing, the different levels of which software and what versions. It allows a person to take this CVD. They can become quite extensive depending on the technology. But it can, they can take that and build that solution and get those results that we show in the CVD, and it's all validated by Cisco. So that's a key way of how our users and customers can rely on what we're putting into those CVDs, because they know from experience that they take about 3 to 6 months, depending on the technology, to build and actually test, and they're very, very thorough. So, yeah, that's imminent for this solution, Mike. I don't know exact details, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be within the next month or so, yeah.
Cool stuff, and I'll make sure there's a link to the existing one that's out there, and obviously moving forward, I'll keep everyone up to date on that one. So that then steers me in, because so just looked up on the Cisco HyperFlex and Beam CVD, and it mentions around the Cisco UCS, the S3260, and the C240. So I want to just transition now, Darren, if we could have a bit of an overview of what that, I guess, in fact, let's just go back a sec. Is it the so from a Veeam point of view, backup, where we back up to, it doesn't, we don't ultimately care. We're agnostic to any of that backup repository and where we store our backups. Obviously, there's things to bear in mind with our technology, so things like Shore Backup, Shore Replicas over in the DR side, but and Virtual Labs being able to run that ultimately with Shore Backup and with Virtual Labs or Sandbox testing, we're going to be running from that backup repository. So we need to make sure that it's performant enough to be able to run those workloads. And I guess that's, again, this is our first iteration. This sort of, the first partnership was about leveraging the C240 and the S3260 range to be able to provide that production performant backup storage to be able to run all of the great features that we bring to the table. So yeah, if Darren, if you could give us a bit of an overview of what that C240, the S3260 looks like from a compute point of view, and then we'll drill down into
that. Absolutely. So think about the C240 as a regular type of server, and I'll explain why I'm defining the two between one's regular and one's not. But the C240 it's a 2U offering, allows you to put up to 24 drives at the front. Gives you huge amounts of scalability in terms of the capacity you can build into that 2U, but it's a single server, so it has the limitations around the single server. So for certain use cases and certain capacity points, it's perfect as a backup repository. In the CVDs, you'll see there's different levels of amount of VMs you can back up to that type of technology. But as I say, it's a single server. It has the same challenges when you want to scale storage or solutions. If you want to change things within the server, you typically have to change the whole server. What we have done differently with the S3260 is we created a composable server. So we don't actually call it a server, it's actually a rack. So in 4U, you can actually change the identity of that rack with different components. So we can add up to 2 servers within that rack, depending on the use case. It's a software-defined storage solution. So we have many uses for the S3260. In this case, we're talking as a backup repository. So we'd typically only put one server in there. Then on top of that, we can put within the top of the environment, we can open the lid and we can put up to 56 drives. And for a backup repository, you can actually add another 4 where you would put the second server. So you can have 60 drives. Now, those 60 drives can be in different geometries in size, but we have up to 10 terabyte drives. So you could get 600 terabytes of raw capacity in a 4U footprint. Now, on top of that, we have extra functionality around the FIs, around the Fabric Interconnects we can connect into. We can go up to 40 gig Ethernet, as well as we have 2 offerings, 10 and 40 gig, and you can also hang 5 channel off it if you need to. So it gives you a huge amount of flexibility as you design these solutions about what you need the actual solutions to do. Now, as we, both on the C240 and the S3260, they both sit on either a network or they sit within the Fabric Interconnects, depending on your use case. Now, within a HyperFlex offering, as you need a very fast backup repository, you can coexist these in the same FIs as the HyperFlex. So if it's our second gen FIs, that would be 10 gig, and now available our third gen FIs, which is 40 gig. So you can then do backups at 40 gig Ethernet speeds, as well as, more importantly, the restores. And so that's all coexisting under our Fabric Interconnects. That's a nice, elegant solution.
Yeah, I get, so that was the most exciting thing for me within the Cisco S3260 announcement was around that, the ability to manage that now through the same UCS manager that I'd manage my HyperFlex through, but also think converged infrastructures, and they'd all be managed through that, but also it brings that scalability approach. So being able to have X amount of S3260s giving you a huge amount of capacity, and then leverage Beam to use our scale out backup repository feature to join those all together and just start using them. So helps us with our scalability messaging, being able to actually leverage this compute and storage combined solution. But yeah, but on the flip to that, it's also going to give us the performance that we need. So the C240, Darren, and the S3260, are we stuck with nearline SaaS or SaaS? Is there any chance that you can put a mixture of different disk types in the back of those? Can we have any SSD? Is that something that you can?
Yeah, so there's definitely a mixture approach what you can do with both. You've got more flexibility with the S3260 because you've got more amount of drives. So you can split those up. And again, with our UCS manager and how we utilize profiles, we've extended storage profiles into these platforms as well. So you can design what your typical S3260 for Veeam would look like. Obviously, you need a number of disks. They're typically, you're building those with RAID 60. So you can put all that up front into the storage profile. So when you then bring a new server in, you go, I'm going to just roll out a new piece of Veeam software on it. It can do all the build for you before you actually deploy. So you don't have to worry about the RAID 60 or how the drives are going to be set up, if you need flash, how you want that to be set up. That can all be done for you as part of the storage profile. So there's also the ability, as we go forward, the likes of NVMe in that technology as well. So depending on the use case and how you want to speed things up, if you want a different software-defined storage offerings, you can deploy different types of drives and have them behave slightly different for different requirements.
Yeah, cool. So that's another thing that I'm kind of hearing out in the field is we've never considered flash in our backup appliances or our backup strategy, just because of whether it's cost point or whether it just hasn't even been considered because of what it is and how new. But actually, when you think about flash in that backup tier, being able to, I've already mentioned around scale out backup repository, so that gives us the ability to not only take the same disk type, pull them together in a locality type profile, so we get to see all of the systems as one big large extent. We also got the concept of performance. So being able to add a tier of SSD, being able to add a tier of SAS or nearline SAS or another dedupe device, and then be able to specifically say which backup file types do we want to send. Now, in that instance, so a full backup file should be going to the slow disk, the dedupe device, the JBOD, that type environment, just because of how the nature of that file. But things like the incremental, where we leverage the change log tracking, they're going to be short, sharp, they're only going to be sending the changes since the last backup. Well, something like that is going to absolutely thrive on that SSD tier. So being able to mix and match those into this solution is only a really good thing. And that comes back to the scale model as well. So if I was a customer or if I was an end user and today I've got enough requirement for let's say a C240, and we have our reference architectures or our Cisco appliances that we've kind of modeled around that. So we have a starter, a small, medium, and large offering, and each one of them come with a caveat or a guesstimate of what the customer requirements will be from a size, a usable capacity, estimated Veeam sockets and how many VMs we expect that could potentially look after. Where I was going with that is that the end user could on day one have a C240, and that might be usable up to, let's say, a 40 terabyte, but then they inherit another company or things change and they've got a requirement then for, they need, let's say, a 120 terabytes extra to keep longer term retention, backups, etc. And that's where a 3260 might fit, and you can absolutely mix and match those. Am I right, Darren?
Yeah, we don't care across the actual fabric or the network. It's down to what fits right for the application and obviously the use size. So you can coexist 240s with 3260s. You can have different backup repository requirements. As you said, you could say, I need a 3260 you can divide into two with two servers, and you could allocate different disk amounts to each. So you could have flash in part of it for, as you say, the snapshots and the very fast recovery objectives you have. And then for the slower end side of it, where you want to be just a bit more longevity, you could have another set of drives in there that are allocated to the second server. And the beauty of it is that as you want to keep improving the server performance, we can change the servers without touching the drives because it's completely detached. And that's where it becomes, it's not a same as a C240 or other types of servers. We've abstracted and we use a technology called Cisco System Link, where we create a composable infrastructure that allows us to change different components without affecting other components. So those drives, as in most storage models, you sweat the assets of drives longer than you do with servers. Servers, you try and keep it with Moore's law around the CPU. So you can do that with the 3260 by just changing the server type and leave the drives alone. So it gives you the best benefit of both worlds, and also that flexibility of building different performance requirements for what the customer needs in terms of their backup and data protection offering.
Yeah, and going back to that 3260 where you can have two compute nodes, we've got a Cisco UCS and Beam reference architecture that absolutely goes into that detail about, okay, so the Veeam management server can sit on one node as well as a proxy, and then use the second one for our Veeam One, so our monitor and reporting solution. So it's all self-contained. I guess the turnkey solution there is it's optimized design. It's bringing the best of breed from Cisco UCS as well as the Veeam side and our features and functionality. It's been jointly tested, the verified architecture, et cetera, that we mentioned, but it also could be right-sized and scalable, whether you need to add additional compute nodes with the C240 or additional S3260, for the really high dense storage array. We've got the ability to do that, and I think that's the nice balance that Cisco and Veeam both bring to this, is that it's not just a server with some disk and some compute that Darren mentioned right at the beginning when we started talking about this. It's a reference architecture that's been jointly tested. Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Darren, at all? I think we've pretty much covered everything that we said we were going to.
No, I think that's good, Mike. I think appreciate what Veeam and Cisco have done around the hyperconverged technology. I think there's a key differentiator between both of our solutions against other offerings in the market around how you can do things and we do things slightly different to others. And that gives customers a real major benefit and a key advantage as we go forward together.
Yeah, the only thing I'd echo on that is bringing, using you guys as the UCS platform and as well as the HyperFlex piece, and bringing the Veeam, is it ultimately gives you so much choice, but you're getting the best of breed from both without turning this into a massive sales pitch, because obviously the listeners probably don't want to hear that. But yeah, it really is about that choice, and that's what I think differentiates us against those turnkey backup appliances that are out there today. So just before we head off, I just want to let the listeners know where can they find you on the Twitters? Do you have a blog that anyone can follow at all?
Yeah, sure. So a nice easy one for the Twitter. I'm at Mr. Hyperflex. Everybody keeps calling me Mr. Hyperflex, so I thought I might as well do Twitter like that. Blog-wise, we have a number of blogs around Cisco Data Center. So go and look for Cisco Data Center blogs. To go and find information on Cisco HyperFlex, the easy one is cisco.com /go/hyperflex, and you'll find a lot of information there. And then you've done a great, you and Stefan have done great blogs around HyperFlex, so go and look at the Veeam sites as well. There's a lot of good information around the interaction between Veeam and HyperFlex, and also some of our wider UCS technologies. So lots of places to be able to go and find information. And if you want to reach out to me, reach out on Twitter, at Mr. HyperFlex, and I'll be able to answer any questions as well.
Cool, great stuff, Darren. And then just to wrap things up, so we have VeeamON right around the corner. So I want to give a plug out to the Cisco sessions that we've got there. We've got Stefan Renner that you mentioned, who's our Alliances SE from Veeam, with Robert Quimby, who's one of your senior solutions architects, and they'll be talking around one of their session is a deep dive on Cisco HyperFlex and the Veeam integration. So that whole process that I went through earlier on, as well as there's a Veeam and Cisco unified computing system. So, and that'll be touching on the S3260 as well as the C240 and how they work together. And I'm sure there'll be some demos in there. Then later on, a little bit more further afield, we have Cisco Live US coming up. I'll be over there with the Veeam stand, and we also have a session where we'll obviously be talking more HyperFlex, more Veeam integration, and as well as the UCS, the backup appliance there. Darren, will you be attending Cisco Live US?
I may be. I'm usually everywhere I can be, so I'm hoping to be there as well, yeah.
I think there's a bit of a challenge between me and you trying to travel as much as we possibly can, or can, whatever way you want to look at that.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Thanks very much again, Darren. And I'm sure as we move forward and all these new updates coming out from a HyperFlex point of view, we'll get you back on and we'll touch on them.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.